Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see. Wow, I wasn't even expecting this great of a crowd on this cold January morning. We're so glad that you're all here. We're glad that you're with us as we worship down here for 3 weeks, hopefully 3 weeks. And so I think David and I might need some earplugs back in here when that piano started up, but we wanted to make sure you guys can hear it out there, because when we start to sing the hymns, if it's quiet, you guys won't sing very loud then. So we want you to be able to belt it out there, but we're so glad. A couple logistics things. I probably should have said it a little while ago. So when you come in over the next 2 weeks yet, you're going to grab a bulletin, and then you're going to either grab a little insert that has all the words to the hymns, or you can grab a hymn book out of the, is there any of those left in there? I was just wondering how many grabbed a hymn book.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
There's still nine in here.
Okay. I figured the ones that always use the hymn books upstairs anyways were the ones that were going to use them today. So, but yeah, you're going to need that as we sing our hymns. And then the sermon outline is up to you whether you want that or not. But we are glad that you're all here today. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about holy and sacred moments that we experience in our lives. So let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning.
Thing I think I omitted down here when we're going to clean the
We'll have plenty of time to announce that later, I think. Yeah,
a lot of people's asked me if we're going to clean the upholstery, and that's going to be down on the 20th. Stanley Steamer is going to do it on
okay
the 22nd.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't say that tongue tied, I guess.
Join together for our call to worship there in the bulletin. Come, you who are weary of injustice all around us.
We come longing to be renewed.
The one who stretches the heavens is stretching us towards courage, compassion, and fairness.
We open ourselves to be stretched into new life.
We hear the voice of heaven. You are my beloved. Well, let's join together there. If you do have your hymn books, it's 391, Revive Us Again, or you can use your little insert sheet to sing along the four verses this morning.
Anybody else need one?
Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Revive us
again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Let's join together for our opening prayer there in the bulletin. Breath of God of creation, rest your spirit upon us once again. Stretch and soften our hearts where they have grown hard by injustice and anger. As we worship, remind us that we are your beloved because of who you are and your love that holds us. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We're going to sing our next hymn. If you're using the hymn books, it's 197. Or you can sing along there, those three verses.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. To the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Change.
Going to ask our kids if they would make their way down, and I'm going to ask if I can move this, and I'm going to have, since there's only three of you, I think, we'll just have you guys sit right here. That works just fine. Now, I don't know what's going to happen if we have a bunch, but I don't know. We'll figure out something. Well, how are you guys doing? Good.
Yeah.
Were you glad to be back at school? We got a split decision here. Yeah. So what is like one of your most favorite comfy spots that you like to sit in or lay in? Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe it's in the living room. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe you have a playroom. I don't know. I don't know everybody's houses and what you have and don't have. But is there a favorite spot that you like to sit at or lay there in your house? Do you have a... What is it? Can you share? Why not? I can tell you when Chase was probably your age, you know what one of his favorite spots was? A beanbag chair. that he would set in. And he would read or he would do other things. And then as he got a little older, it was little Game Boy games and stuff like that. Yeah. You can't share where your favorite spot is? Why not? Maybe it's out in the barn. I don't know. Ah, that's a good spot. A little nook around her bed, yes. Yeah, maybe it's a spot outside. Now, right now, you don't want to be outside, but there might be, I remember there were trees that I would climb up into. There was also, Dad had put boards down, and there was a spot up in the top of the garage, and I would go up there all by myself. Kind of like a quiet place, just to get away from everybody else. All the noise, all the sounds, everything, and just a quiet place. Or it could be elsewhere. Maybe when you're with somebody and you're walking in the woods or out in your backyard playing, it's just a special little spot. And you know why those are important? Because those can be sacred and holy times. Now, we don't always think about it that way. Maybe you're playing, or maybe you're sitting there reading one of your favorite books. But those can be very special moments, just you. And we all need that at times. You may not think about that. Would you rather be with your friends? Or do you like sometimes when you're just, it's just quiet with you by yourself? I think sometimes I love being around people. But guess what? I need times where I'm by myself. And I just got to turn off everything. So, and those are special moments. And those moments can be special because God is with us. We may think we're all by ourselves, but God is with us. And hopefully, those times will become more special as you get older and grow up. Because they're important, and we need those times. And they remind us, those special little times and moments, that God is with us always. Okay, you can go back. There's no class, so you're just going to have to go back with your parents again. So, yeah. Yep, there's no class for a while. And if they get bored, I just want to let parents know they are welcome to go back. Yes. Hopefully they won't get too rowdy back there. But. Well, we're going to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we go to prayer. Give you a chance to share those times and or those moments or the situation or person or whatever it may be and or something that happened.
Co-worker and friend Kathy, her and her wife just found out that her wife has a very aggressive form of cancer and doesn't look good.
Can you share the name?
Sherry.
Okay, thank you. So we want to remember Sherry, who has just found out about cancer. Yes, definitely want to lift her up in our prayers. Yeah. Unspoken this morning. Somebody else, yep.
My co-worker that had the mastectomy, and they still not have released her to come back. She was supposed to come back last week, so still just healing for her.
Yes, healing and recovery there.
Yep. And the people of Iran.
Yes, yes. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, definitely because of everything that's going on there. Hopefully, maybe some real change can happen. I know it's been long time, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they've kind of an unusual one, Jason, that CSX has laid off upwards of 300 people in the last week. And just a horrible time. No prior notice, no. They just suddenly came in and didn't have a job. And just prayers that they can, you know, that they're going to be okay. It just.
Yeah, and maybe be able to find something else, because that's been going around a lot. I knew other companies at the November and December that were laying off people, and it seemed like the hard hit area was middle management. It seemed to be areas that were getting hit quite a bit.
A mixture of management and conductors.
Yeah. So, yeah, but we can definitely do that. Definitely do that. I saw some other hands. Yep. Okay.
Brother Roger was 98 yesterday.
Wow.
And we went in last night and celebrated his birthday. They brought Nancy over from West Milton, and she was there, and his two kids, and a couple of grandkids, and he was pretty pleased, yeah.
That's good. Wow, I did not realize he was
that. I can't
help
but share a story, little story I saw this morning on Facebook. Somebody else might have saw it. That went with your children's story. This puppy is laying in his food bowl on top of his food. Bed and breakfast.
There you go, Jim. Is that a good one? About bed and breakfast?
I'll be there.
I like the real bed and breakfast. I don't want to lay in my breakfast. But yeah.
Trenton leaves tomorrow.
Yes. Yep, we want to remember Trenton, as he's Army? Yeah, that's what I thought. So as he's off, and I'll have to remember to get him put on the monthly with a couple of the other ones that we have on there. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken. Yes.
Victoria Tom is doing well.
Oh, good. Thank God. Yes. Thankful for that. Yeah.
Doug's brother, Dan's significant other, has just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And in 2 weeks, she meets with a surgeon and a gynecologist to plan a treatment.
Are you allowed to share her first name?
Lisa,
okay. So we want to remember Lisa in our prayers. Yeah. Somebody else, yes.
Keep Connie in your prayers. They got her sister back from California, but she's in the Springfield Hospital. She still can't stand. She can't walk. She can't eat. And they're trying to get her into a facility until they can get her to do that. And her son had to go back to California.
Help me with her sister's first name. Okay, yes, because we had prayed for, I think, last week and maybe the week before, because Connie had given me a little slip, but I just couldn't remember exactly. So, somebody else. Several, yeah.
My cousin passed away last week. She's 47.
Oh, wow.
She has cancer.
Okay. Do you have the last name? Yes. So we want to remember the Bauman family with the loss of that. Oh, that's, gosh, 47. Wow. It's crazy.
We had Steve Baker's family and the service for. And then Ellen Barnes had her relative friend that is. They had done a gallbladder and it was full of cancer, but then they were afraid that she might have liver cancer. A joy was Greta Netsley went into AFib, and she was on our prayer thing, and she was scheduled to go to Grandview, and it converted on its own, and she didn't have to go. And we do need to pray that God touches our world and our country with peace.
Okay, so we want to remember Ellen's friend that has the cancer there going on. So somebody else, Nancy Macy on Tuesday had knee replacement surgery. Everything went great, but when she started to try to get up and to do some things, her blood pressure would bottom. And it's happened 3 times. They've moved her. She was hoping to come home the same day, but it did not work because the next 2 days she had the same thing. So she has been moved to rehab, a rehab place down by Miami Valley in Dayton. and she definitely needs our prayers. And so appreciate your prayers for Nancy this morning. Anybody else before we go to prayer? All right. Well, give you a chance there to pray for some of these that you remember or are concerned about. And then we will, I'll come and close us out. Our gracious, loving God, you invite us to bring our doubts, our fears, our joys, our concerns, our petitions, our praise, our thanks to you. And we thank you that you are with us in every circumstance and that you walk with us through times of celebration and sorrow. This day we open our hearts to you, knowing that your Spirit prays with us and through us. Sometimes when we don't know how to pray for those that have been mentioned and people that we know about ourselves, where people are tired from work or weary with responsibility, where time and resources feel inadequate and costs overwhelming, send your Spirit, we pray, with strength and renewal. Where people are facing danger or living under duress, where people are persecuted for who they are or what they believe, send your Spirit with courage and comfort. Where people have suffered the loss of love or purpose, or where love seems complicated and challenging, send your Spirit to bind the brokenhearted and help us walk in your ways. Where people are ill and worry for their future, where people suffer pain and disability and long for healing, and where people face the limits of life and options have seemed to run out for them, send your Spirit with healing and hope. God, in your mercy, touch those mentioned today that are in need of your grace, healing, recovery, wisdom, strength, and peace. We lift up Becky. We lift up Connie's sister. We lift up Lisa today. We lift up Jody's sister Jill, who's going in for port surgery tomorrow. We pray and lift up Sherry today. Lord, we lift up Ellen's friend today. God, asking that you would touch each one of them that are in need of your healing and strength and recovery. We lift up Monica's friend, Lord, that is in need of recovery and healing today. We lift up the Bauman family with the loss of this loved one, so young, God. We pray for your strength and comfort today for them. We pray for those that have been facing loss of jobs and it's been so tight and difficult lately, God, that you would seem to make a way where there seems to be no way, as we trust you today. We pray for the situation in Iran. We pray for the situation with Israel and Palestine. We pray for the situation with Russia and Ukraine. We pray for the situations on the streets in the United States of America. We pray for peace for our world and for our country, for our communities, all over the place, God. We need to hear the words of Jesus again, who invites us to follow him as the way and the truth and life today. May they somehow, some way, encounter your presence and come to know that place of peace in their lives. Bless the rest of our time together, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you feed our souls today and remind us of those secret, holy moments that we can have in our lives and find renewal from all that's going on around us. As we ask all of this now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer today. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. So as our ushers make their way today, and they're going to be doing a little bit different. They will be collecting from the outside. And so God bless you as you give today. let's join together there in the bulletin for our prayer of dedication. Holy One, we bring our gifts to you this day. May they ripple outward in acts of compassion and encourage where it is needed. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Two passages that we are going to look at. I'm kind of going off grid here from the normal lectionary. And first of all, we're going to be looking at two passages from the Old Testament. The first one is Exodus chapter 26, verses 31 through 35. This is in the context of God giving instructions to Moses about how they're to build the tabernacle and how they're supposed to set up the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant sits. So we'll start there. Make a veil of blue, purple, and deep red yarns and of fine twisted linen. Work figures of winged heavenly creatures into its design. Hang it on four acacia wood posts covered in gold. They should have gold hooks and stands on four silver bases. Hang the veils under the clasp and put the chest containing the ark there behind the veil. The veil will separate for you the holy from the holiest space. Place the gold cover on the chest covering the covenant in the holiest space. Place the tablets outside the veil and set the lampstands opposite the table by the south wall of the dwelling. Place the table by the north wall. And then, a very different passage, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. This is in the context of them coming up on the city of Jericho. And Joshua may be struggling a little bit. Let me read. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up. He caught sight of a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn. Joshua went up and said to him, "Are you on our side or that of our enemies?" The man replied, "Neither. I am the commander of the Lord's heavenly forces. Now I have arrived." Then Joshua fell flat on his face and worshiped. Joshua said to him, "Why is my master saying this to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's heavenly forces said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals because the place where you are standing is holy." So Joshua did this. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. And that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, a cat died and went to heaven. God met her at the gates and said, "You have been a good cat all these years. Anything you want is yours for the asking." The cat thought for a minute and then said, "All of my life I lived on a farm and slept on hard wooden floors. I would like a fluffy pillow to sleep on." God says, "Say no more." Instantly, the cat had a huge fluffy pillow. A few days later, six mice were killed in an accident and they all died and went to heaven together. God met the mice at the gate and the same offer that he made to the cat. The mice says, "Well, we have had to run all of our lives from cats, dogs, and even people with brooms. If we could just have some little roller skates, it would make it so much easier to get around." God said, "It's done." All the mice had beautiful little roller skates. About a week later, God decided to check on the cat. He found her sound asleep on her fluffy pillow. God gently awakened the cat and says, "Is everything okay? How have you been doing? Are you happy?" The cat replied, "Oh, it's wonderful. I've never been so happy in my life. The pillow is so fluffy, and the little meals on wheels you've been sending are so delicious." Some of you might remember that one. I think I shared that one. It's probably been 3 or 4 years ago when I shared that one. Yes. I want to talk to you this morning about holy sacred moments this morning. Holy sacred moments. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever sensed or experienced what you thought was God, or a God moment, or God's presence in a very real way? I see a few of you shaking your heads. Such encounters or experiences are often called holy or sacred moments. The Celtic Christians in Ireland call them thin moments. Thin moments. Why do they call it that? Because they believe that the veil between heaven and earth that separates human beings from God's presence is thin in certain places, where when you go to those places, you can experience God's presence and sense it stronger in certain places than in other places. These words, holy, sacred, signify when something or someone is set apart and dedicated to God for specific moments, encounters, or maybe actions or mission or whatever you want to say. Sometimes we refer to these times as holy ground, like the commander of the army said to Joshua, holy places, or we might encounter or meet a person and talk to them, and you're like, man, they are like a holy person, because I could sense peace or God's presence when I was talking to them. Or somebody's actions that you see them do are like holy actions, because of what they're doing for somebody else. Scripture alludes to two primary ways we experience the holy or sacred. Now, there's a variety of things within these two broad categories, but I just want to use these two broad categories to give us some ideas to think about. The first, and this isn't surprising, is sacred presence. Presence, there's your first word. Not presence like you get at Christmas, but God's presence. And if you think about that, when you look through Scripture, you see some things. And I kind of summarize it down into this. God is manifest through a series of sacred encounters. There's your next word if you're filling out your outline this morning. And let me give you some examples, and I could have kept on going on. I thought of others, and I'm like, well, I'm going to... So one of the real famous ones that we're probably, most of us are familiar with, is God's presence was made known to Moses through a fiery bush in the wilderness, on the backside of the wilderness when he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep in Exodus chapter 3. But when he come up upon it, this bush was not being consumed. I mean, you know what it's like when you burn something, don't you? I mean, instantly things can, especially if it's really dry, it can go quick. And if you have fireplaces, you know there's certain wood. I remember this growing up. There's certain wood that I would kind of save, and Dad taught me that if I'm sleeping in the basement by the fireplace, he goes, put these on, because they're a different kind of wood, and they'll last through the night. And then there's others. I mean, every time you turn around, you're getting up and changing it or putting more on because it burns quicker. But this bush that Moses encountered, it wasn't being consumed. I wish I could show you that video from the cartoon. It's a cartoon animated movie called The Prince of Egypt. It's about Moses. And when they do this scene, and it's wonderful how they do it. Moses walks up and he's looking, and it looks like blue flames are coming out from the bush and coming out and covering the ground. And when he gets up to the edge of it and he wants to step a little further, he hears that voice, "Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground." Well, Moses has no idea, and he asks, well, yeah, so there's one of the key ones. God's presence was made known to the Israelites through their wilderness journeys by a fiery pillar at night that led them, or by a cloud by day that led them. God's presence was made known primarily to the Israelites through the Ark of the Covenant. If anybody's ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know what I'm talking about. Now, yes, he takes some liberties there at the end of the movie. But anyways, the ark signified God's sacred presence with them. And they had to carry it everywhere they went. In our reading today, God's presence was made known to Joshua through his encounter with this angelic or heavenly messenger. Our reading says the commander of heavenly forces. So we're talking about an archangel, a more powerful one. Michael, Gabriel, some names that we learn about in Scripture. God's presence is made known today in Jesus and the Holy Spirit through Scripture, the sacraments, and when we gather for worship. Why? Why are those moments? And I can tell you a ton more. Jacob, his ladder, in Genesis. I mean, there's other ones that we could talk about. Paul on the road to Damascus when he struck blind. "Sir, sir, who are you? Why are you doing this to me? Who are you?" "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." "Wait a minute. Jesus, that crucified guy? How could I be persecuting you?" Who is he persecuting? Jesus' followers, yes. Here's my point about all this, is that such encounters with God challenge our belief, perspective, and our lives. In other words, let me just say this. We don't experience those sacred holy moments just to feel good about ourselves or to affirm everything we believe and think. No, usually it's just the opposite. We experience those moments in our lives and God challenges us, challenges our beliefs, challenges our perspectives and our lives, because the story changed Moses. Because from that time on, he knew he had to go back to Egypt and face Pharaoh and Pharaoh's family, who he came from, and say, "Let my people go." It changed Joshua. Did you catch the reading there when I read it? Joshua asked the commander of the Lord's army, "Whose side are you on? Ours or our enemies?" And the angel said, "Neither. I don't have anything to do with that." The angel's response was meant to challenge Joshua's perspective of reducing life to us versus them thinking. Friend, foe, friend or enemy. The same thing happened when people encountered Jesus. They weren't the same anymore when they were encountered him. Such God encounters challenge, transform, but also at times encourage people. They are a constant reminder that God is present with us. Let me ask you a question this morning. How have you experienced God's presence in your life? Sacred presence. Second, sacred space. There's your next word, sacred space. What are we talking about there? We're talking about a safe place. There's your next word. Where people encounter God. So what is interesting in Scripture is that not only do the writers and the people that have these encounters with God remember that experience, but they also remember that place. I can tell you what happened to me at Findlay, at a church, at a youth thing when I was 17 years old up in Findlay, Ohio. I can tell you exactly every detail of it. How I experienced God in that place from an 85-year-old lady evangelist. And I'm not going to go into it, but I remember that place. I remember other places. And here's the thing. They could be anywhere God chooses. Let me just say that, like what we see in Scripture, in a desert, in a tabernacle, which is where how they set up and worshiped when they were going through Canaan, in a church building, in your house, in the woods, while you're driving your car, while you're in the shower, which is one that I talk about often. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm not focused on other things, et cetera, et cetera. In your favorite chair. Or Jesus said, go into your closet and talk to your Father in secret, who will then reward you openly. In such moments, we're invited to remove our sandals because we're standing or sitting on holy, sacred ground. And what makes it sacred? What makes it a holy place? Not us. Not because that place is our favorite necessarily, but because God's presence permeates that place. We're talking about a safe space. And what is the interesting thing in Scripture is everything can be going chaotic in life around those people, those stories, but in that moment, it's safe for them. And they experience God. A safe space where we can breathe, or maybe, for some of us, where we just need to catch our breath because things get overwhelming. Or where we can rest or be at peace or experience renewal and the assurance that God is with us. And in those moments, then, God speaks to us and challenges us. Why? Because God invites us to find a comfortable, there's your next word, a comfortable place to receive from God's holy, sacred presence in that moment. So God encounters in these things are places where we can receive from God, where we can receive grace, where we can receive healing, where we can receive peace or encouragement. And here's what I want you to think about the next time. Take your shoes off. Feel the ground. Feel the carpet. Take a few deep breaths. And as you breathe in, invite God's Spirit to fill you. And as you breathe out, release any worries or concerns you are carrying. Let me ask you a question. Where is your sacred space? Or let me ask another one. Do you have a sacred space? Are there specific prayers or devotionals that you use in that sacred space to encounter God's sacred presence? In what ways do you grow closer to God in those moments and in those places? And if this has not been a part of your practice, could you benefit from crafting such a place in this new year. Our world and our country is facing a lot of crazy things. We need God's presence more than ever, where we find peace and rest from our anxieties and frustrations and anger and everything else, worries. Holy, sacred moments. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and try it and see. Why don't you go and shake a few hands and greet one another, and then we'll close out there with our chorus, "We Are Standing on Holy Ground."
I want you to know, I experienced one of them moments with you talking. And they passed away. I did, really. Thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing that. I don't know if you ever shared that with me. But I've had many of those, and they are special, and they do make you cry. Yes. Yes, when we get touched by God, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Thank you very much for sharing that.
You sure hit the button there, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about it all week with everything going on.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys.
So are you Hank?
Are you settling somewhere as far as
I know. I'm looking around.
That's all right. I understand. I understand.
So they're here to stay.
Is this place? I checked everything today. Okay, let's join together there if you got your little insert or your hymn book still. And we're going to sing "We Are Standing on Holy Ground" twice as we get ready to close out this morning. Join together for our benediction. Beloved of God, go in the assurance of God's love.
We go in confidence to face the challenges before us.
You are the ones upon whom the Spirit rests, the ones in whom God delights in, and the ones to restore compassion to the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you.